From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. Since the COVID-19 began, the COVID-19 pandemic rather began, the cost of rent in Boise has gone up almost 40%. That's according to analysis from BoiseDev.com. A new national report recently revealed that affordable housing is out of reach for many Idaho residents. And according to Jesse Tree, which works to keep Treasure Valley residents housed, the problem, well, it may be worse than many realize. Here to break it all down for us are Andrew Arend, Vice President of Research with the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which released that new report, and Executive Director of Jesse Tree, Ali Rabi. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for inviting us.
So, Andrew, what did your report find out about Idaho and the cost of rent here?
Yeah, so every year we look at the cost of rental housing and calculate what a full-time worker needs to earn in order to afford a modest one-bedroom or a two-bedroom apartment in their area without spending more than a third of their income on rent, which is sort of like a federal standard in many of our housing programs. And in Idaho, on average, we found that a full-time worker would need to earn at least $15 an hour to afford just a modest one-bedroom apartment, or nearly $19 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment, which we know, you know, there's a lot of occupations that pay much less than that.
And Ali, you say that those already bleak numbers are actually worse on the ground in Boise. Can you talk to us about the difference in HUD's numbers and what you say that people are actually paying for rent?
Yeah, so, and Andrew could talk more about this, but the report uses the fair market rent for many reasons, which is more low income units that many people are not able to access, rather than the market rent, which is the average rental. So the fair market rent in the Treasure Valley for one bedroom is $900, but the actual rent is $1,300, while a two bedroom is $1,100 fair market rent, and actual rent is about $1,600. So $400 or $500 more than what HUD's fair market rent says.
And Andrew, when you brought up the point about what a person would need to make in Idaho, you said $15 an hour in order to afford a modest one-bedroom apartment, $19 an hour for a two-bedroom. We see signs everywhere, right? Fast food restaurants hiring at $15 an hour. We should note those are normally part-time jobs. But also, Idaho's minimum wage is only $7.25. So there was massive discrepancies in all of this.
Oh, I think, you know, I think that the reference to the minimum wage is really important. You know, there are a lot of young adults and older adults who are working minimum wage or close to minimum wage jobs. And, you know, as you point out, the minimum wage is so low that someone really has to work two full-time jobs at minimum wage to afford even a modest apartment. And also, you know, Ali has a very good point. In our report, we're not talking about the typical apartment or even a newer apartment. We are talking about a very modest, basic apartment that HUD uses in some of its programs. You know, so, you know, we're not, you know, we're talking about sort of a very modest apartment and how hard it is to afford that apartment. And Ali's also right in that what we've seen in the past year, rents have increased dramatically, which has exacerbated the problem.
And Ali, I know on Jesse Tree's website, you note that the cost of rent in Boise is increasing faster than anywhere else in the country. But as we just mentioned, wages are not increasing at the same rate. I mean, minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. There are many barriers to people then being able to be housed. Can you talk on this?
Yeah, so a recent report from IPI shows that wages have increased less than three times that of rent. So as a result, more and more renters in the Treasure Valley are living paycheck to paycheck. A United Way report just showed that at least half of Treasure Valley renters are living month to month. So any unanticipated expense or shortfall can easily lead them to a place where they can't pay their rent. Temporary job loss, a healthcare bill, a childcare issue, a car breakdown, one issue away from eviction and potentially homelessness. And we've seen that reflected in the numbers in terms of the number of folks who are calling Jesse Tree for rental assistance, as well as the numbers in eviction court, which have been higher than they've ever been the last couple months.
So, Allie, how is rent able to be so high? And what I mean by that is, if there are not people who can afford this type of rent, where are renters coming from? How are property managers, landlords able to increase this rent?
It's a great question. And I think the answer is that renters are very resilient, and we just see more folks that we work with picking up a second job or a side hustle, doing DoorDash or, you know, Uber Eats or something to make a little extra money to make up for the difference. We also see the folks that we serve making really difficult choices between getting maybe necessary healthcare for their kid or themselves, or, you know, putting food on the table and paying their rent. We've talked to a lot of renters in the eviction process who don't have anything in their refrigerator. Their kids don't have new clothes or supplies for the school year. Their car insurance has expired and they haven't paid that. So people are making really difficult choices. And I think also just working more and more to try to pay what the average rent is.
So, Allie, you've noted, I mean, certain impacts on families with this. And I mean, research shows that you know, at least here locally, so many of our renters, community members who live paycheck to paycheck, tend to be single mothers, and they are raising their children. If you have to have two jobs or a job and a side hustle, that greatly impacts the family structure.
Definitely. A lot of the renters that we serve are single parents who have had a recent breakup or divorce, or even have survived domestic violence. And they in particular are strained, not only because they need to afford a two-bedroom instead of just a one-bedroom, and often can't get a, you know, roommate situation, but also because they have to pay for childcare, which is so difficult to find and very expensive right now. They're having to make really difficult choices between getting needed childcare for their kids and are making it work somehow. But we're seeing a lot of those folks in the eviction process and ending up homeless for the very first time. Anybody who works in the school districts right now will tell you that a lot of single parents are informally housed, maybe couch surfing, or even living in hotels or their cars right now.
And Andrew, Boise isn't the only city experiencing rental increases like this. I mean, what other parts of the United States are coming up against these same issues?
Yeah, unfortunately, we really have seen this nationally across many housing markets. In the past year, rents, generally speaking, nationally have gone up 14 to 18%. But in some places, it's been so much higher. So we've seen significant increases in markets in Florida, in California, in areas that attract a lot of tourists. Rents have gone up significantly. So we really, unfortunately, have seen this trend in so many places across the country.
And Andrew, your report also finds that an increase in corporate housing investments has contributed to rising rental prices across the country. And also that corporate landlords are more likely to raise rent and evict. So talk to us a little bit more about that. I mean, because then I'm wondering, well, if you are then someone who needs to be housed, I mean, should you then maybe be trying to turn more towards a private landlord? Or is that not a great solution?
Well, yeah, one of the things, you know, we talk about in this report is one of the things we've been seeing is this potential threat to renters, which is an increase that we've seen in corporate owners of the rental housing stock, as you pointed out, and these large investment companies buying thousands of units. You know, so nationally, we've seen a significant concentration of ownership among the largest real estate companies in the country. We also see corporate owners in some markets are buying up single family homes and making them rental properties. And research is starting to show that these corporate owners tend to charge higher rents. They raise rents. They eventually charge higher than average rents. And, you know, it's one of their business strategies, of course. You know, a business strategy of investors is to find undervalued properties and to raise rents as much as they can. The bottom line is the return on their investment. And so we see an increase in rents. And some studies looking at evictions have shown that corporate landlords also tend to be more likely to file evictions and to be serial eviction filers, which is mean they will continually file evictions against the same tenant. So they'll file an eviction, the tenant will pay, they'll file another eviction to try to get the tenant out of their property.
Allie, do you see that trending here locally? I mean, we do know, as you mentioned, and you've been on the program talking about this in the past, that we are seeing higher numbers of evictions here in Idaho.
It completely resonates and is what is happening here. We've seen more big corporate landlords come in, buying up rentals and developments and building more developments, multifamily. And we definitely see those corporate landlords more in eviction court. We find that they usually have a contract attorney and are very by the book with eviction. And in Idaho, the eviction process is very fast. So as soon as a tenant doesn't pay, you know, they get a 3-day notice and they're in court within a week or two. And a lot of times what we hear from tenants with those corporate landlords is the communication isn't great. There isn't really an opportunity for the tenant to explain what's going on, maybe try to push their payment date back a week or set up a payment plan, as opposed to the mom and pop landlords that we work with that are a lot more flexible with their tenants and have more of a relationship with the tenant and are much better communicators and in general, a lot easier to work with through the eviction process.
So, Andrew, what kind of solutions is your group suggesting in order to combat this crisis?
Yeah, you know, it's really a complicated crisis. And so there's a number of solutions, some at the local level, some at the state level, some at the federal level. We focus at the National Low Income Housing Coalition on federal policy. So at the federal level, there are a couple of solutions. One is, you know, we need more resources into rental assistance that can be provided to low-wage workers and other low-income families so they can afford housing. Housing choice vouchers, for example, provide rental assistance so families can afford units in their market. Many markets don't have enough rental housing, so we also need to produce more rental housing. There needs to be greater investment of federal subsidies in housing that would be affordable to low-wage workers and other low-income families. The other I'll mention about solutions at the local level, and Allie was getting at this, is that, you know, we often see when evictions are filed that landlords will have attorneys, tenants will not. And so there's been a big movement across the country for municipalities to adopt right to counsel, meaning tenants would have a right to an attorney or court, so they at least have some help as they go through that process. And studies have found that that makes a big difference on the outcome of those cases. And it really does help tenants.
And Allie, before we wrap up, as Andrew mentioned, you know, what can we do on a local level? I mean, what can people do to help their neighbors if they're experiencing hardship?
Yeah, so people can definitely donate to organizations like Jesse Tree and Catch, who's rehousing folks who are experiencing homelessness. We definitely need all the help we can get, and we have volunteer opportunities as well. I always encourage people to keep their eyes and ears open to their neighbors. Anybody could be experiencing housing instability right now, and we all need to be a part of the solution and keeping an eye out for those folks and potentially help them through that process and help them advocate for themselves. Also just letting people know about community resources that are out there. People in the eviction process can contact Jesse Tree. Our number is 208-383-9486. There are also other temporary federal rental assistance resources right now, hopefully through available through next spring through the Boise City Ada County Housing Authority for folks in Ada County and the Idaho Housing and Finance Administration for folks outside of Ada County. So encourage people to contact those programs as well while they are available over the next several months.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming in, taking time to talk about this. Hopefully just having more conversations around it will keep it in the dialogue. So my thanks to Andrew Aaron, Vice President of Research with the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and Executive Director of Jesse Tree, Ali Robbie, talking today about a new report that recently revealed just how out of reach affordable housing is for many Idahoans. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.